Bad Lines firefight in the occupied Al-Quds. Israeli forces kill a Palestinian in a shooting that leaves one Israeli dead and two soldiers wounded. And scuffles break out in the Netherlands as protests against the government's new coronavirus restrictions continue for a second consecutive night. And unrest in several U.S. cities over the acquittal of a white vigilante who killed two people during last year's anti-racism rallies. Thank you for joining us. My name is Gizumi Shahmadi, and these are our top stories this hour. Israeli forces have shot dead a Palestinian in the old city of Al-Quds. The Israeli military is alleging that two Palestinians approached one of the gates of the Al-Aqsa Mosque. One of them then opened fire, killing an Israeli settler and wounding three people, including two Israeli officers. The military says its forces immediately fired back and killed the Palestinian on the spot. The other Palestinian reportedly escaped. Palestinian resistance fronts are now reacting to the development, pouring praise for the move, calling for the struggle against the occupation to continue. Hamas says such operations are a natural response to Israeli regime's growing crimes against Palestinians. Earlier, I spoke to our correspondent in Ramallah, Mona Kandel, to get more information about this, the victim and the aftermath of the incident. Let's take a listen.
Well, the identity of this Palestinian man is known now. Fadi Abu Shkhedem, 42 years old, from the refugee camp of Shafat in occupied Al-Quds. Hamas movement, in its statement, said that Fadi Abu Shkhedem is one of its leaders in Shafat refugee camp. And now we are receiving that Israeli forces are on their way to the refugee camp of Shafat. It seems that they are planning to destroy the Fadi Abu Shkhedem. Israeli crimes and atrocities have never come to an end. Every day, this raid West Bank areas, villages, cities, as well as areas in occupied Al-Quds. On a daily basis, they arrest Palestinians, and a number of Palestinians had been killed during peaceful demonstrations and protests against the illegal settlements and against the separation wall. So the Israeli forces continue their crimes, killing people, people, unarmed people, peaceful people. And it seems, according to experts, as they continue to say, Palestinians are fed up. They have the right to defend themselves, to defend their homes and lands, to defend also their children in order not to be arrested. Children under the age of 10 are being arrested in Al-Quds without any legal basis.
4 years ago today, Iranian top military commander Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, in a letter to Iran's leader Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, confirmed that the Daesh terror group had been fully eliminated. That after years of barbaric brutality and bloodshed committed by the group against the armies and the civilian population of Iraq and Syria. Here's a report.
The Daesh terror group, known mainly as the ISIS or ISIL in the Western world, was founded by Abu Mus'ab al-Zarqawi and became known internationally in 2014 after driving Iraqi security forces out of key cities in lightning attacks followed by its capture of the strategic city of Mosul. For several years, the group carried out the most brutal attacks against civilians and government forces in both Iraq and Syria. Just to name a few, the Sinjar massacre, during which thousands of Yazidis were butchered, and the killing of more than 2,000 cadets and personnel at a military academy in Iraq's Tikrit. they also inflicted irreparable damage on Iraq's vital infrastructure. The savagery against the civilian populations was beginning to raise concerns in the international community about the situation in the two Arab countries. Several regional nations, including Iran, were already viewing Daesh as a national security threat. That prompted Iranian authorities to move to assign top commander, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, to take on a military advisory role to help those countries eradicate the terror group. With the liberation of Abu Kamal, a Syrian city close to the border with Iraq that was the last stronghold held by Daesh terrorists, and the bringing down of the flag of the terrorist group and the raising of the flag of Syria, General Soleimani announced the termination of the rule of Daesh. In a letter sent to Iran's leader in November 2017, the commander outlined who had been behind the creation of the terror group.
All these crimes have been designed and implemented by U.S. leaders and organizations according to the acknowledgement of the highest-ranking U.S. official who is currently president of the United States. Moreover, this scheme is still being modified and implemented by current American leaders.
The Iranian commander also hailed Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Sistani for mobilizing all facilities to fight the scourge and praised resistance forces in Iraq and Syria for their role in defeating the terrorist group.
Certainly, the resistance of the Iraqi and Syrian governments and the perseverance of the armies and youth of these two countries, especially the highly popular mobilization forces and other Muslim youth from other countries with the prominent presence of Hezbollah led by its great leader Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, played an important role in overturning this dangerous event.
General Soleimani also acknowledged Iran's role in bringing the life of Daesh to an end.
Definitely the valuable role of the nation and the governments of the Islamic Republic of Iran, the respected president in particular, the parliament, the defense ministry, as well as police, military and security organizations of our country in supporting the above mentioned states and nations is admirable.
General Soleimani, along with commander of the Iraqi Popular Mobilization Units, Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, was assassinated in a U.S. drone strike in the Iraqi capital, Baghdad, in January 2020 as part of a plot to remove a force against a group created by the U.S. and its allies to pursue their political goals in West Asia.
And scuffles break out in the Netherlands as protests against the government's new coronavirus restrictions continue for a second consecutive night. The latest footage shows clashes between police and protesters in The Hague. Thousands of people also took to the streets in the capital, Amsterdam, despite the strong presence of security forces. This follows an outbreak of violence on Friday night in Rotterdam. Three people were injured in the city after police fired shots and water cannons to disperse angry demonstrators. Dozens of people were also arrested. Similar anti-lockdown protests were also held in other European countries on Saturday, including Denmark, Croatia, and Austria. Fury and reactions in the U.S. over the acquittal of a militia member who shot dead two anti-racism protesters last year. The court verdict that the shootings by Kyle Rittenhouse were in self-defense is triggering a lot of heated debate. There have been protests across several cities. In Chicago, Black Lives Matter protesters turned out carrying signs that read, "White supremacy equals terrorism." Protests also erupted in Tampa, Florida, and Minneapolis, Minnesota. The verdict has raised fierce criticism of the justice system and its preferential treatment of white supremacists. There's also a renewed debate over the boundaries of gun rights and self-defense in the U.S.
Justice system in the U.S. in the spotlight after a Wisconsin court cleared homicide charges against white teenager Kyle Rittenhouse. He was in court over his fatal shooting of two men and injuring another during anti-racism protests in Kenosha, Wisconsin, in August 2020. The court ruled that Rittenhouse had acted in self-defense. It rejected the argument of prosecutors accusing the 18-year-old of provoking violence during the Kenosha rallies.
It's been a long day. It's been a long 3 weeks. We're very happy with the verdict. We're happy that the jury took the time, put in an incredible amount of effort.
Gun rights supporters welcomed the verdict, too. Former President Donald Trump also congratulated Rittenhouse and defended the shooting as self-defense. Republican lawmakers were happy, too, with Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson saying justice has been served. But others do not think so. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio, a Democrat, believes to call the verdict a miscarriage of justice is an understatement. And the victims' friends say they are sad about what the system has done.
I am, like I said, not surprised at what happened here today, but I am heartbroken.
Several civil rights and racial justice groups denounced the verdict as a travesty. The American Civil Liberties Union says the trial highlights an urgent need for reforms to both police and the legal system. And gun control advocates warn the verdict could inspire a new wave of armed vigilantism. President Joe Biden, reacting to the verdict, says it leaves many Americans, including himself, feeling angry and concerned. But the jury has spoken.
I stand by what the jury has concluded. The jury system works, and we have to abide by it.
Biden wants everybody to be peaceful as people fill the streets across the U.S. to protest what they see as the failure of the justice system. Unrest broke out in some locations. Commentator Kyla Papuche says Rittenhouse's case shows increasing polarization in the U.S. and eroding trust in the government there.
It is also a foreshadowing of the deep division, the polarization that is increasing and getting worse in the United States. There is more growing apathy, distrust, and zero confidence in every thought facet of the state and the United States government, not just the judicial system.
Rittenhouse has also reignited debate about gun rights and the boundaries of self-defense in the U.S. As critics remain unconvinced and people are on the streets, the standoff over the American gun culture, racism, and vigilantism appears far from over.
Election day in Chile. People are heading to the polls to choose a new president. From among seven candidates vying for the post, nearly 15 million people are eligible to cast their ballots. The candidates over the entire political spectrum from left to right. The favorites are leftist Gabriel Boric and far right Jose Antonio Kast. Under the new president, Chile will draft a new constitution. People already selected members of the body in charge of drafting the new text in May this year. The new constitution was the main demand of protests that rocked Chile back in 2019. Chileans are complaining about what they see as inequality between the poor and the rich. On Sunday, they will also choose members of the 155-member Chamber of Deputies and almost two-thirds of senators. Now, following news, the UK will proscribe Hamas political wing as a terrorist organization. Criticism over the move is being expressed. Many argue that the move will push Palestine further towards conflict and will be used as a tool to silence criticism of Israel in Britain even more. Robert Carter reports.
The UK government has announced plans to declare the entirety of Hamas as a terrorist organisation. In a move led by Home Secretary Priti Patel, supporters of the group could face up to 14 years in jail under plans announced on Friday. Previously, it was just the armed wing of the Palestinian organisation which had been prescribed under the Terrorism Act 2000. However, the new ban will also include the political wing of the group, which currently serves as the democratically elected government in the besieged Gaza Strip. Following the announcement, criticism came in thick and fast online. Patel's close relationship with Israel was one of the main points raised.
It's not really a surprise, considering where this proscribing is coming from. Look at the UK. Look at the UK. It's an imperial power that refuses to acknowledge the damage caused by its empire's past. You know, how many countries have had to struggle against the United Kingdom for their own independence? So it's no shock that this prescribing statement is coming from the UK government, and it's no shock that it's coming from this current Home Secretary, Priti Patel, who, do not forget, once tried to give international aid money to Israel's army.
Why such a thing will happen? And the only sort of explanation is when you look at the Home Secretary's history, that she actually undermines the procedures and policies of British government, her own government, her own country, and had a secret meetings with the then Prime Minister Netanyahu, and she was removed because of that. So she has actually shown she's more willing to do things against British interest and in British policy in support of the State of Israel.
Israel welcomed the move as a significant decision, while Hamas accused the UK of supporting the aggressors at the expense of the victims. But the move would require approval by Parliament first. A prescription order has been introduced, with debates and a vote expected to follow. If passed, the law will come into force on November the 26th. Robert Carter, London.
With that, we come to the end of this edition of World News.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Tell a little about yourself.
I'm Eric Shimanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who is taught me the art of life.
Listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful, Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to this week's edition of Listener's Special on this beautiful Sunday, November 21st, 2021. I'm Ote Fairfani, hosting this program today. Listener's Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, and messages. So contact us and tell us what you think about our broadcast. If you have any messages for our great listeners around the world, then record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard. Remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. We hope you enjoy your autumn times, and of course, we wish you a very happy spring for those of our dear listeners who are living in the Southern Hemisphere. So please keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. As usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers, because they enable us to provide a better service to our great listeners around the world. So all of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an EQSL card from us. So here, I truly appreciate those of our great listeners who have sent us reception reports, including Mizanur Rahman from Bangladesh, Paul Makuza from Uganda, and Thomas Biliauskas from Lithuania. So Thomas, Mizanur Rahman, and Paul, we want you to know how much we value your support and commitment to your radio, IRIB English Radio. And here, I truly appreciate those of our great listeners around the world who have sent us emails from around the world, including Shivanta Bol from India, Fabricio Andrade Silva from Brazil. Again, from India, we have an email from Mubashir Hussein, Asher. From Spain, we have an email from Arthur Fernandez Lorella. And again, from India, we have an email from Mutaram Kaga. After a short break, I will be back with these great emails from around the world. Please stay with us. This is Listeners Special, and here we are, emails and letters from around the world. And first of all, we start with an email from Shivanta Pol from India. Shivanta Pol is one of our regular listeners who says, "Dear friends at IRIB English Radio, greetings from India. I am Shivanta Pol, and I'm from Murshidabad, India. I am a regular listener of IRIB English Radio. Now, your reception is moderate and the signal strength is good. I love your programs, news and current affairs program. I'm interested about culture, lifestyle of Iranian people, historical places, etc. My hobby is radio listening and collecting stamps, coin, QSL card, program schedule, stickers, badge, calendar and other items from international radio stations. Thank you. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you from Iran, from Tehran, Iran, to Shivanta Pol from India, and many thanks for sending us this great email. IRIB English Radio really appreciates you for sending us email from India, Shivanta Pol. Thank God you liked everything about our radio, IRIB English Radio. As you said, you enjoyed the quality of our program because you said the reception is moderate and the signal strength is good in your region. It seems that you love our programs, the news, the current affairs program, and you're interested about the culture and the lifestyle of Iranian people and historical places because we broadcast different programs, including Close Up Iran and many different programs about Iran at IRIB English Radio, and it seems that you liked it so much, and that's great. So you have the hobby of radio listening and collecting stamps, coin, QSL cards, program schedule stickers, but unfortunately at the time of pandemic we can't send our great listeners the souvenirs and the promotional items of IRIB English Radio, and at this time we just can send you an EQSL card. Anyway, please accept it from us. And of course, after the pandemic, we will send our dear listeners promotional items of IRIB English Radio as before. Yes, we had the tradition of sending these items to our dear listeners, including the postcards with the monuments of Iran. But now we just send you EQSL cards. Please accept it from us. Anyway, thank you for writing this great email to us. Please tell us your views about our programs in your upcoming emails. Shivanapol from India. And from Brazil, we have an email from Fabricio Andrade Silva. So he says, dear friends at IRIB English Radio, greetings from Brazil. I just wanted to remind you via this email to send me a QSL card, and that you do not need to send it via postal system. Just fill it up with my reception report information and send me a photo of it here by email. I'm quite fine with receiving an EQSL. I will be glad for that. Thanks, and have a nice day. Salam and warm greetings to you, Fabricio Andrade Silva from Brazil. Yes, greetings from Iran to you. Thank you for understanding the situation. Yes, we will send you an EQSL card. Please accept it from us. Yes, thank you for accepting it. And we are so glad to have you with us. Write to us soon and tell us your views about the broadcast of IRIB English Radio. Fabricio Andrade Silva from Brazil. So after a short break, I will be back with another email from India, from Mubashir Hussain Asher, one of our regular listeners. As I said, Mubashir Hussain Asher from India has sent us an email. He says, dear friends, me and my club members are very much interested in your programs. These programs give us full information regarding your country, Iran. We also would like to thank you for your informative and up-to-date website. It is a great website with great choice of programs, which enables us to listen to your radio online whenever we want. Salam and warm greetings to you, Mubashir Hussain Asher from India, and we send our appreciations to you for sending us this great email. And we're so glad to have you and your club members as our listeners. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL as a confirmation, of course. So, you enjoy the programs, as you said. You get full information regarding our country, Iran. Yes, I think IRIB and IRIB English Radio, and of course, in general, IRIB is the best source for giving information about the Islamic Republic of Iran. So we hope you enjoy the programs. As you said, you find it informative Thank you very much for writing this email to us. Mubashir Hussain Asha from India. Write to us soon. We're looking forward to hearing from you. And from Spain, we have an email from one of our regular listeners, from Arthur Fernandez Lorella. Arthur says, thank you very much for your message and informing about the QSL sent from your radio. I hope to receive one of them as a confirmation of my old reception reports. Thanks in advance. Have a nice week. Let me wish you all the best and stay healthy. Salam and warm greetings to you, Arthur Fernandez Lorella from Spain, and many thanks for sending us this email. Of course, we at IRB English Radio wish you all the best in life, peace, joy, good tidings, and of course health, and we're so happy that have you with us. Yes, my colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card as a confirmation. Write to us soon. We're looking forward to hearing from you soon and reflect your views in your upcoming emails. Arthur Fernandez Lorella from Spain. After a short break, I will be back with another email. Welcome back. You just heard a piece of traditional Iranian music. Do you enjoy it? I was wondering if you enjoy these pieces of traditional Iranian music. Maybe you can reflect it in your emails or letters. Well, from India, as I said, we have an email from Mutaram Kaga. Mutaram Kaga from India says, hi, I am a new listener of Iranian English Radio Language Service, that is IRIB English Radio. I listen to your radio programs and visit your website time to time, and I have to say that both of them are interesting, but usually I only look at your news in the website. Please send me a QSL card or even an EQSL for confirmation. Thank you. Salam and warm greetings to you, and welcome to the world of IRIB English Radio. We're so glad to have you with us as a new listener. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card as a confirmation, because at the time of pandemic, it's not possible to send you a paper QSL card. So please keep in touch with us and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio programs. Mutaram Kaga from India. Please stay with us. And before we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special, I thank Thomas Biliaskas, Mizanur Rahman, Paul Makuza, Mutaram Kaga, Shivan Paul, Fabricio Andrade Silva, Mubashir Hussain Asher, Arthur Fernandez Lorella, all of them for sending us the reception reports and emails and letters from around the world. We wish you all the best. Keep in touch with IRIB English Radio and have a good time.
Listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to englishradio@irib.ir. That is one word, englishradio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.pasttoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Once again, our phone number is 00981-2201-3720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all for being with RIB English Radio.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In the limelight.
In the years after the U.S. pledged to invest in human rights and rule of law, the Pentagon spent millions training elite Mexican units how to fight, says Ryan Devois Ryder in an article published under the heading, U.S. military training in Mexico increased as human rights waned, new database reveals. Stay tuned for more. Families in the Mexican state of Tamaulipas were left reeling last week after a federal judge released from custody 12 members of an elite U.S.-trained special operations unit accused of kidnapping their loved ones. According to the families, the Mexican Marines orchestrated a wave of terror during their six-month deployment in the city of Nuevo Laredo, just across the border from Laredo, Texas, that resulted in at least 47 abductions in 2018. The bodies of 19 victims were later recovered, some bearing signs of torture. 25 people remain missing, including a teenage U.S. citizen. The youngest of the victims was a 14-year-old boy. Drawing international condemnation, the disappearances in Tamaulipas are significant, not only for the acts of Mexican Marines are accused of perpetrating, but also because the Marines, as an institution, have been the U.S. government's most trusted drug war ally in Mexico for more than a decade, receiving extensive training, operational support, and praise from the U.S. military and law enforcement agencies. A new database released this week provides the most detailed picture to date of what the U.S. government's relationship to the Mexican Marines has looked like on the ground, revealing the extensive tactical training that the Pentagon has provided to the Marines elite units and other elements of the Mexican military. Launched by the Mexico Violence Resource Project at the University of California, San Diego, the database allows the users to search through more than 6,000 instances of U.S. military training for Mexican security forces spanning nearly two decades and totaling nearly $144 million in U.S. taxpayer funding. According to Michael Lettiori, a managing editor of the Mexico Violence Resource Project and lead analyst and designer of the project, the data drawn from annual Pentagon and State Department reports to Congress reveals that tactical and lethal training for Mexican military units, especially the Mexican Marines, by the U.S. military has increased substantially over the past decade, while human rights instruction has sharply decreased. One hand is saying we are building up the justice system and the civilian police, and on the other hand is saying we are making your military really good at killing people, Lettiori told Intercept, adding, I don't know that it's an incoherent foreign policy, but it's certainly a slightly deceptive one. Last month, top officials from the U.S. and Mexico met to discuss replacing the Merida Initiative, a $3.5 billion aid package that has been the public face of U.S.-Mexico security cooperation since 2007, with a new bilateral security framework. More than 300,000 people have been killed in Mexico since former President Felipe Calderón deployed the military in a stated war on drug trafficking in 2006. More than 100,000 others have disappeared. Security forces at all levels have a well-documented history of systematic human rights abuses. In 2011, the U.S. and Mexico agreed to a reorganization of Merida that would strengthen law enforcement institutions, enhance criminal prosecutions and the rule of law, build public confidence in the justice sector, improve border security, promote greater respect for human rights, and prevent crime and violence. The shift was seen among some close trackers of the U.S.-Mexico security relationship as a potential move away from the militarized drug war model that has fueled unprecedented levels of violence and instability in the country. and the database complicates that picture. Significant chunks of Merida spending have indeed gone to civil society programs in Mexico in the past decade, largely through the U.S. Agency for International Development and the State Department. However, the government's own records show that the Pentagon has taken the opposite track since 2011, doubling down on tactical training while moving away from human rights instruction. While the database captures the language proficiency and technical training courses one might expect to find in a binational security partnership, it also features extensive records of recent and large-scale training operations involving U.S. personnel in Mexico, including dozens of unit-level pre-deployment training missions involving upward of 140 Marines at a time, combat shooting courses, martial arts courses, airborne parachute courses, tactical driving courses, asset interdiction courses, aerial warfare courses, and more. The top line story that everybody is giving, all the Merida spending is going to justice reform, and it's not just about shooting the baddies anymore, Littori said, adding, I would say what the Pentagon is doing is here how you shoot the baddies. Information in the database, first organized by Security Force Monitor, a Columbia Law School project, shows that from 2007 to 2012, the U.S. provided tactical training to an average of 261 members of Mexican security forces annually. After 2012, that number jumped to 1,454. The Mexican Marines were the primary beneficiary of the explosion in training, representing nearly 60% of the Pentagon's students and receiving nearly half. That is $46.3 million of the $101.2 million spent post-2011. From 2013 to 2019, while tactical training was surging, the Pentagon provided human rights training to just 27 students, only 12 of whom came from the Mexican military. Combined Pentagon and State Department funding on human rights training post-2012 came out to a mere $212,000. Lettieri went into the project neither searching for nor expecting to find the post-2011 increase in tactical training. But as he continued to work with the data, the shift became clear. When you look at it over time, it just jumps off the page that it's tactical, he said. It wasn't just the Marines, known in Mexico as a SMEAR, receiving tactical training. He discovered the army known as SEDINA also received extensive Pentagon support at a tactical level. The finding was significant because Washington has couched its embrace of the Marines as allies in the drug war in Mexico in the perceived unreliability of the army as a trustworthy partner in matters of operational security and human rights. SEDINA has long been one of the Mexico's most powerful institutions. It has also been tied to many of the country's worst state crimes, including the 2014 disappearance of 43 college students in the state of Guerrero. The database provides just one glimpse into a much wider world of security exchanges between the U.S. and Mexico, Lettieri said, most of which is inaccessible to the public. It does not include, for example, information on the enormous array of arms Mexico purchases from the U.S. or where those arms ultimately end up, nor does it reveal anything about the extensive training and cooperation that occurs between state and local law enforcement agencies on the two sides of the U.S.-Mexico border. Thanks to the joint State Department and Pentagon report on foreign military training that's delivered to Congress each year, we have some ability to understand this section of U.S. interaction with Mexico, let you reset. Still, he added, there is a whole bunch of stuff we don't know very much about. That's the key takeaway here. There is a whole bunch of money being spent, but we don't have even this minimal kind of accountability.
You have just listened to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. Shortwave 41 meters, 7300 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent. And FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or BAD 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. There's a very beautiful tradition that we would like to share with our dear listeners today from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, regarding how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the children of Adam or the Bani Adam, but again, all people. But obviously here there's a specific type of people, those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who believe and have conviction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deserves to be worshipped and who needs to be worshipped, not because of him but because of us. We need to worship him because we are in need of that worship. He does not need of anything. It's a very lengthy tradition, so inshallah we'll go straight to it. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that your Lord addresses you, that is us human beings, and he Azza wa Jal says, O son of Adam, devote yourself exclusively to my worship. Again, understanding what we meant by worship, and that worship for that person who sees Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the eye of the heart and with that esoteric sight, it's a very deep meaning. So, O son of Adam, devote yourself exclusively to my worship, and I will fill your heart with wealth and your hands with ready sustenance. O son of Adam, do not distance yourself from me. Oh, I will fill your heart with poverty and your hands with work to preoccupy you. Now, the first part, there's a lot that can be said about, you know, if a person devotes himself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's a deep meaning there, but we don't want to get into it. The second one, for example, we can see clear examples of it. There are certain people who are very wealthy. And by looking at it, you can see, where's poverty? Allah doesn't say that Allah will give you poverty. Allah says that He will fill your heart with poverty. Meaning what? That your remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be taken away from that person. A true person or a true poor person is that person who does not have any connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, heart here does not mean the physical heart that pumps blood across the body for oxygen. And we've explained this before. But it's that essence of a human being. Now imagine an essence that is away from the source of that essence. An essence that is away from that thing that is giving you whatever you need. Yes, it appears that you have been giving blessings, but it's not. So that heart will be full of poverty. And then the second word, that even though you may want to come back, you will be so preoccupied with other things that even then you will not be able to fix this poverty of your heart. Then not only will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but for those who distance themselves, not, you know, will be distanced from Allah, they will not be given the tools and instruments and the chance to fix it. Why? Because they are not deserving of it. Allah probably will give them chances, but they will not take it also because of the distance that they have from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no
us out from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Hello and welcome to Spotlight. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us. More signs of a country divided. That's the reaction of many Americans after Kyle Rittenhouse was found not guilty on all counts. He had taken an automatic weapon to a protest, shooting and killing two people and wounding another. Many people were shocked by the verdict and